I am just incredibly blessed, and I look around at my family and my friends and the job that I have and the position I have and the opportunity I have to preach God's word each and every day. And I know that we have struggles and we face problems in our life, but folks, we are truly blessed. And God has given to us graciously. And this morning, as I alluded to in the children's book, we're going to talk about Rahab. Rahab was in the town of Jericho, which was a fortified city that was standing in the way of the conquest of the Israelites. So the Israelites, as we've already discovered, so let me step back just a minute. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has assumed command. He is now in charge of leading the entire army of Israel into the promised land. Moses is dead. Joshua is now filling the shoes. In Joshua 1:9, God tells Joshua, be strong, courageous, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that is a very awesome charge. If the Lord, you know, and the Lord does tell me through Scripture, but if I was having a conversation with God and he said that to me, as he does in the Scripture, that should build you up. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that was Joshua's command, as he was to rally the troops and prepare them to cross the Jordan River. But not only to cross the Jordan River, but to cross the Jordan River at flood stage levels. And we're going to get to that next week and how God does an amazing miracle there. But before we get there, we're talking about Joshua and how he sends out the spies. He sends out two spies, not the spies that we saw back in the, before the 40-year wandering. But these two spies were to go and basically just get recon. They were to go and to check it all out, to just know the lay of the land, so when the armies got there, they knew where to go and what to do. And they got there to Jericho, and as they came into the land, they came to the house of Rahab. And Rahab was a prostitute. And Rahab was also, she was kind of the, and maybe there's one here in Cuba, I'm new to Cuba, but maybe there's a lady that just knows everything that's going on. You know, she knows everything that is going on with everybody, okay? That's kind of what Rahab was. She knew anything and everything, and in her profession, she met a lot of men, and so she knew what was going on. She knew what, you know, the happenings of what was going on in that town, and so these men showed up to her house to, and she took them in, and she eventually hides it. But let me read to you before I put too much of my own spin on it. Joshua chapter 2. Verse 1 says, then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly to Shechem, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and they came to the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told that the king of Jericho, told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men of the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them under stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of the, and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the kings of the Amorites and who were beyond the Jordan, when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above, on the earth above, and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sister with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. We're going to stop there for now. Joshua was told in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, not be terrified, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then they meet, they send out the spies, and these spies meet Rahab. And what does Rahab say? Listen, the word of the Lord, the word of your presence, of what you have done, has reached us. And just hearing about what God has done has melted all courage away from us. Our people are scared. Our people are done for. And we know that God has given you this land. And we also know now that God is not only the God of heaven, but he's the God of this earth, and he can do whatever he wants. And so Rahab has a conversion experience here. She realizes that this God is not a fake God, that this God is for real. Because in Jericho, they worship many gods, but the main God that they worshiped was Ashtaroth. And Ashtaroth was the moon god. And so it was a very dark and very disgusting, disgusting is not a great word, but just a dark belief in this god, the moon god. You look it up sometime, it's a pagan belief, a pagan god, but that's who they believed in. And so this word of what God had done beyond the river and what he had done in the at the Red Sea and all those things had reached them, and just the hearing of what God had done shook these people to the very core. Their courage had gone away. Now that's the power of God, folks. That is what God is telling Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And now, just the word of God, just the happenings that God has done for the people of Israel has reached the people of Jericho, and they are utterly just spent. And Rahab has this experience. She begins to understand who God is. She begins to realize that this God is the one and true God. Now you got to remember something about this story. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab lies. Rahab is a Gentile. She is a pagan. But what we're going to learn today is we're going to learn all about grace. And we're going to learn about that grace, but it's something that you should already know, that by grace through faith, as I read those kids today, that you have been saved. Each and every one of us has experienced, hopefully, the grace of God in his dealing with us. Because by all means, folks, we are sinners marked for hell. But because of what Jesus has done through the cross and what God has done for us, we have been saved.
Amen.
And we've been saved by grace. God could have easily wiped us off the planet Earth. He could have easily dealt harshly with Rahab, but he chose to give her a second chance. And so she experienced the grace of God. She is a pagan woman in a pagan society, in a very dark world. And she chooses life. She chooses to cut a deal with these spies. She says, listen, if your God will allow it, and if it is okay, please allow my family to remain in the land. Or allow my family to be spared from this. We pick up in verse 15. It says this, the promise that the spies made to Rahab. They said, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterwards you may go on your way. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which we have made, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet, okay, thread in your window through which we, which you let us down, and gather to yourselves into the household your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from this oath which you have made us swear. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in her window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned home. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened. They said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land melted away before us. There's a sharp contrast between this spy report and the last spies 40 years ago that came back. These spies say, listen, the Lord has given us this land and it is time to go. They make this oath with Rahab to tie this. This is a bungee cord I had in my truck, but it's the best thing I got. To tie this scarlet cord in her window, that they would know that this oath that they had made to her, they would know which room not to touch and which place not to go to. And so they did this, and Rahab trusted them, and they trusted Rahab to not share her word. But listen, I want you to understand the risk that Rahab takes. In there, a lot of people look at how Rahab lied, and she told fibs about that she had the spies. She didn't have the spies there. She told them that they had left. But understand this about Rahab. Rahab is a Gentile. She's a pagan. She has not yet come to the saving grace yet. And so what we need to focus on is the fact that she acts out of faith. Her faith, okay, is what saves her in this day. She hears what God has done in the past. She hears what God has done for the Israelite people. And she has a strong belief that this is the one true God. And so she does whatever she can to take care of God's men, his spies. And so she hides them. She sends them out another way. And so because of her faith, she is saved. Because of her faith, she is saved. I want to go through 5 points real quick of the many ways in which Rahab depicts the church. Now, I want you to understand how Rahab fits into the whole story here. Rahab, okay, is the mother of Boaz. Does it make sense to who Boaz is? Boaz is the suitor for Ruth, right? And so, if you track all that down, she is kin to Joseph, Jesus' father. And so she is in the line of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that a young woman who was a pagan, who just had a horrible life, got a chance, experienced the grace of God, her life was changed, and she is in the line of the lineage, she is kinfolk to Jesus Christ. And what does that say about us? What kind of hope does that give you and me, Gentiles, give you and me, sinners, who need grace? That should overjoy you that the Lord uses brokenness to make great things happen. Understand that. Believe that this morning, that God uses brokenness to do great things in this world. And so if you're thinking today, man, I've got a messed up life, my life is jacked up, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to turn, I'm telling you now, turn to Jesus. I'm telling you now, have faith in God, trust in Him, live for Him, and do it each and every day. Not just part-time, not just sometimes when you feel good. All the time, all the time, all the time, live for God. This morning we talked in our Sunday school lesson about that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Folks, each and every day is precious. So don't go about rushing and the hustle and bustle and not give God praise and glory for the things that He's done in your life. Don't go about this saying, you know what, tomorrow I'll tell my friends about Christ. Tomorrow I'll get around to reading my Bible some more. No, don't do that. Live each day like it's your last. Amen. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The psalmist says that life is like a vapor. I got this new thing for deer hunting. It's Tink's GoP69, you know, and you squeeze that thing and it puffs out of smoke. The little things in my life. But you squeeze that, and no sooner you squeeze that smoke, it comes out and it's gone. Folks, that's our life. We're this great puff of smoke, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. We must live each day like it's our last. Rahab understood who these men were. She understood who they served and why they were there. She understood that God had given the land to the Israelites and that they were going to utterly destroy them. And so she did everything in her power to be a part of what they were doing. And so she trusted in the Lord. She realized that God was God. And so there are many ways in which Rahab depicts the church. First, she was part of a pagan world system, a prostitute who, by her conversion, was enabled to become a legitimate bride. In like fashion, Israel was the first chosen people of God, but they were set aside temporarily so that the Gentiles could be brought into the kingdom of God. And the church is now considered the bride of Christ, as we see Ephesians 5:25-27 discusses. Secondly, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was saved because of her faith in God in heaven above and on earth below. Hebrews 11:31 discusses that. Likewise, Christians are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is, and this, not from yourself, it is the gift of God. I want to read that part in Hebrews where it talks about Rahab. And it talks about her faith that she had in Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 31 says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she welcomed the spies in peace. So she was saved by her faith in God in heaven above and on the earth below. And Hebrews 11:31 reflects that. And again, likewise, Christians are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And again, Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. You can't save yourselves. It won't happen. You'll fall short. It is the gift of God. Yeah. Thirdly, how Rahab reflects the church. Although Rahab and Christians are saved by the act of grace through faith, true faith requires and is exemplified by actions. James chapter 2. Hey, listen, if you want to learn more about James, show up at Sunday school because we're almost done with James, okay? But it's a good book to study. It is true faith requires and is exemplified by action. James chapter 2 reflects that. Rahab had to put the scarlet cord out of the window. Christians must accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and then go on and live in the manner that verifies that our faith is real. James chapter 2 has the discussion about faith and works. You show me your faith, I'll show you my works. But the bottom line is this, folks. If you have faith in Christ, it's going to show. Okay, and it's going to come out in the works that you do. Faith alone is dead. Faith has to accompany works. And that the works come because of the faith that you have. Okay? Understand that. You can't do all these good things and have tremendous faith. It doesn't work that way. You have faith in God, you trust in Him, and because of the change, the transformation that you have in your life, these good works come out of you. Understand that? You believe that. James chapter 2 has that discussion. Fourth, Rahab could have indicated the location of her home in a number of ways. But the only way that she could be spared, was to follow the directions given to her by the Israelite spies. The word tells us, the world tells us, that there are many ways to God and salvation, all equally valid. But the Bible tells us, concerning Jesus Christ, that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under the heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 reflects on that. Understand that Rahab could have, you know, there was no other way that Rahab could be saved. And the spies told her this. They said, you put this cord in your window. But if you don't, your own head. If you break this oath, if you go away from this, if you decide to tell people about us, then we're done. And folks, you understand that that shows how the same way in our life, that there is only one way to salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It is simply accepting Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, living for Him, trusting in Him each and every day. The world will tell you there's many other ways to get there, but they're wrong. They're fools. The Bible tells us there's only one way to heaven through salvation, and salvation is found only and in no one else, for there is no other name under the heaven given to men by which we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. Fifth, Rahab's faith enabled her to turn away from her culture, her people, and her religion, and to the Lord. Commitment to a true faith in God may necessitate setting priorities that are contrary to those of the world, as we are exhorted to do in Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are to be transformed. We are to be changed. And so for Rahab, when she heard and understood the word of God and understood what God was doing, she changed her life. She looked for a way out, and she did that through the spies. And true believers have faith in God, and we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and that begins to transform who we are. And so we begin to look different. What I was trying to tell the kids this morning was that we are marked. We are to be different from this world, that we are to live for Jesus each and every day. And when people look at us, we don't look like another sheep in the fold. We're different. We're that sheep that's got spots, okay, that stands out from the crowd because of our faith in Christ. We are marked. And finally, once we come to Christ, our past, now listen to this, I want you to get this. Finally, once we come to Christ, our past no longer matters. You hear me? The slate is wiped clean for all who believe and accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and on our behalf. Rahab was no longer viewed as an unclean prostitute, but as one worthy by grace to be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Just as she was grafted in the line of Christ, so we become children of God and partakers in His inheritance, as found in Romans chapter 11, we find in the life of Rahab the inspiring story of all sinners who have been saved by grace. In her story, we learn the amazing grace of God that we can save even the worst of sinners, as we put in our minds, the worst of sinners, and bring them to abundant life in Christ Jesus. Understand that. Walk out of here with your head held high. Understand that you are an image bearer, that you carry the name of Christ, and that you are challenged, that you are charged to live in this world and to share Him with all those you come in contact with and to reflect Him daily. Jesus said you are to be a city set on a hill to reflect the light of Christ. You are to be the salt of the world. You are to be the difference maker. And I realize that we have tough times. We go through rough patches in our lives, and Satan just loves to get us down. But we have to understand that we are to live each day like it's our last. And not worry about tomorrow, but focus on today. Focus on today. What can I do today to advance the kingdom of Christ? And if you're like me, your schedule is just packed. And it seems like before you know it, the week is over. And so we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional in our walk with Christ. We have to be intentional in sharing our faith. And we have to be intentional in discipling others. Amen. We have to make it a priority in our lives. Folks, as we look at the story of Rahab, we look at her tremendous faith and how she came from this dark past. And because of the word that she had heard about what God was doing with the Israelite people, she became a follower of God. And she was spared. And we'll see this coming soon, in the next week. The same way, we are saved by grace. We certainly deserve death. But God has bestowed grace upon us. And listen, folks, as I sit in my deer stand with my little V finger thing. I reflect on my life. I look at the birds and other things, and Spencer had talked this morning about how he's with his grandkids because his mind begins to wander. And you were saying that my mind was wandering. And I was thinking about when I sit there quiet, listening, not seeing anything to shoot at, God begins to speak. You don't have to be 100. You just have to be quiet. Shut up for a minute and listen. And God will begin to reveal things to you in your life, things that need to change and things that you're doing wrong. And the Holy Spirit is great about that. We try to put the Holy Spirit in a pocket and say, shh, quiet. God begins to speak to us and tell us things that we need to change in our life. And you know, the one thing that I got yesterday is I was sitting there and I was thinking about what I was going to preach on today and just mulling over the story in my head. I began to think about that, boy, do I deserve hell. I just do. I am not worthy of what God has given me. Not even the least bit. And I truly begin to understand this message of grace. When we realize that we are no good, but the only good in us is what Christ is, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we realize that we are on life support with Him, we get beyond ourselves and we get to focus more on Him. I encourage you to do that today. We've entered this time, this season of thankfulness. And as we went around our circle at my mother-in-law's house, there were many people that said that they were thankful for their faith and what God had done in their life. And I was, you know, of course, you're the pastor, you know. And so I was at the end of the line. All these people have said, I'm happy for my faith in Christ. I'm happy for my faith in Christ. You know, and I'm like, well, I am too, you know, but I want to be different. And, it's simply that. I'm thankful for the little things that God does in my life and the little things that He does to show me I'm wrong and to show me that He loves me. But we got to slow down and be intentional about our faith, and be intentional about our walk with Him. And remember, no matter how bad your day has gotten or how terrible the week is, you have been saved by grace. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And He's going to do amazing things if you'll let Him. Let's go to prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the story of Rahab, Lord, that you took this young prostitute woman who was just enveloped in her sin, engulfed in her sin, Father. You pulled her out. She heard of you and began to live for you. Father, help us to do the same. You're there. You stand at the door and knock. All we got to do is open it up and begin to live for you, walk with you, talk with you. Father, help us to realize that we are so, so blessed. Because of grace, wow, our lives are different. Our lives are changed. And we're forever in debt to you. We love you, Lord. We ask that you would move in this time. Lord, that you would begin to do business with us. Lord, you begin to reveal to us things that need to change and the things that we need to start doing intentionally around. Us to know. Help us to slow down, focus on you. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know who you are, has never experienced the grace and the love that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, but I pray that they would give their life to you this morning. Romans tells us that we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. I just pray this morning that there's there's one here that doesn't know you, that they would do that. They begin to walk with you, talk with you, trusting you each and every day. We love you, Lord. I ask this all in your name. Amen. Band's going to play, and I'll be down here in the front. If you want to talk and pray, just do business with God this morning. Please stand with us and sing.
I'm going to change the last song. Brother Peter was talking. He